When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
And happy Tuesday to you. It's Jacob Albrecht, Brandon Zinner in for Tommy today, ready to rock and roll on this Tuesday. On the day after a Monday Night Football doubleheader, we still wait anxiously for any news with Patrick Mahomes and that ankle. Good news for us, we'll have our Chiefs insider, Dan Israel, executive producer of the Chiefs Radio Network, joins. We'll see what he's hearing, what he thinks the strategy may be there in Chiefs camp to handle this situation. That's a big part of today's show. We got some college basketball for you tonight as well. You've got two games. Wichita State playing at 5:30. You've got K-State playing at 7. We'll get a preview of both of those games coming up throughout the show today. All kinds of fun stuff in store for you. Maybe a look ahead at some college football playoff games as well. Brandon, good morning. How are you?
I'm great, Jacob. I did not wake up to my coach telling me that I have to find a way to play better. We have to find a way to get better at quarterback. Unfortunately for Kirk Cousins, I think there's many people having a better morning than him.
Yeah, it was rough. It was rough. They got the win. The Falcons did. I know you have no love lost for Kirk Cousins as a Vikings fan who won last night, even though they didn't, quite honestly, look like overly dominant, but they were dominant, you know, and that's kind of what they've been doing. So we'll get into that a little bit. We've got the IHOP hotline open for you. It is brought to you by IHOP, the official breakfast partner of Xbox. Come in and try out our decadent, fully loaded French toast only at IHOP. We're going to give you some HTO a little later in the show, so stay tuned for your opportunity to win there as well. Before we get into the Chiefs and what they need to do, let's look back at Monday Night Football. Two games last night. Which we've said this before, I'm a huge fan of the two-game Monday Night Football setup, Brandon. I don't know how you feel about that, but I love it. You had one dominant performance. You know, the Vikings kind of did what they do and smothered and suffocated and did all of these things, and all of a sudden they're 12-2. And I think people are beginning to talk about them now more so than they maybe have been for the last few weeks. And then the Falcons, who stay in the mix, almost blow it against the Raiders of all teams, the Desmond Ridder Raiders. But they get it done. Kirk Cousins looks not good again. They are sputtering along here to try and make this thing happen. But a couple of games last night in a doubleheader, hey, we'll take it. NFL football two times on a Monday? Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. It's hard, as you alluded to. I am a Vikings fan, so it is hard watching two games at once when you are emotionally invested into one much more than the other. But, I mean, in the case of the Minnesota Vikings, you're never going to complain about getting a divisional win, nonetheless a divisional win by 18 points. So I think if you're the Vikings, you're still – yeah, it wasn't perfect, but you're going to wake up feeling happy today. As for the Falcons, I mean, this just does not look like a playoff team. The way that they sputtered, it looked like they were going to blow it at the end. Desmond Ridder had two chances at the end zone to throw a touchdown. They have a Kirk Cousins problem. He did not attempt a first down pass last night. That's not – I don't care if you do have a Bijan Robinson or a Derrick Henry, or you have both of them on your team. That's not a winning recipe. And if this is going to be a team that's going to compete to try to overtake the Bucs to get to the playoffs, I mean, they have to figure out something, and they have to do it fast.
It's strange with him because there was a point in the season where he was playing well. You know, he went through weeks. It was the Cowboys game, and then he went on a heater for a month and a half, probably, where he was really good. And it's just like lately has been, he was good last week, you know, or sorry. I'm backwards there. He went through this stretch at the beginning of the season. I'm just looking at his logs here. You could say he had two, maybe three bad games through his first 10, probably. And then it's just all totally unraveled on him. Even last week, you know, when he had 340 yards against the Vikings, no touchdowns, 8 interceptions. And then he had last night, that was going into last night, in his 4 games, all of which they lost. It's just, I don't know if he's hurt, Brandon. Like I know you don't have love lost for Kirk Cousins, but that's as bad as we've seen him look ever. Like, we've never really seen him look like this.
Yeah. And you gotta still have to tip your cap off. He's an excellent quarterback. My gripes with him as a Vikings fan go beyond just his ability to throw a football. Now, yeah, when you look at his last 5 games, 9 interceptions to just one touchdown. No, you heard that right. Not 9 touchdowns, 1 pick. 9 interceptions, 1 touchdown. And these aren't juggernauts they're going to play against.
No.
The Saints, the Broncos, who are a playoff team, but they're not a top 5 team. You got the Chargers, Vikings, and the Raiders, who, I mean, they got to him 3 times last night. He only threw 17 pass attempts, which tells you where did they feel this Falcons offense was. And their lone touchdown of the night came through the air to Drake London on the opening drive. So, yeah, in all those games as well, under 70% passing, which that's not Kirk Cousins football. So
right.
If the Falcons are going to get something turned around, it's got to start with Raheem Morris. They got to get something figured out because at the end of the day, it's not all on Kirk Cousins to get that together.
Something's wrong. I mean, they've got good weapons there. Like that offense not working all of a sudden just doesn't make a lot of sense. And they have time, and they're still in the mix. But the Vikings are the story, I think, of last night. Now at 12-2. Now look, we've seen the Vikings have good records. We've seen the Vikings be good in the regular season. You know that better than anybody, and they haven't been able to get it done. Sam Darnold was not great last night, but he wasn't bad. He was fine. I think for me, it's their ability to run the ball again that's made the biggest difference. You watch them closer than I do, but when they're two-dimensional that way, they're a far more dangerous team. Like I watched last night and just thought, you know, a lot of the same things we've liked about the Chiefs historically, this team can do, right? At least in the last couple of years, they play good defense. They can run the ball when they need to run the ball. But now it's almost they're leaning into that a little bit. Aaron Jones has found his legs again. Oh, and by the way, they have this insanely talented pass catching group. They have everything you want right now. And with the Lions hobbled by injury, and you know, it is what it is, and they'll play each other. I think about like the Eagles. I think about the Vikings. Think about the Lions, and I'm not convinced that any of those three teams are significantly better than the other. I think the Vikings are right there with them because when they can run the ball, they're good at everything, right? They don't have that deficiency now. They can do anything they need to do in an individual game. They can go win a game like they did last night without Sam Darnold slinging it all over the field. And it's Sam Darnold, so that's not a bad thing, right? To be able to not have to make him throw it 50 times.
Oh, no, absolutely. And with Aaron Jones, it comes back. He was battling a rib and a hip injury around the middle portion of the season, and he just looked like he had some extra juice last night. They were able to just move the ball. They were 7-14 on third down. They held Chicago. They didn't have a third down conversion in the first half. So, which when you talk about the defense, they were able to make Caleb Williams miserable. A clip going viral throughout last night and this morning of Caleb Williams over on the bench, hunched over, just looking like he was in so much pain, just looking like he wasn't mentally strong last night. And that's probably a whole nother conversation. But yeah, just in the case of the Vikings, they have all the recipe. The recipe is there for this to be a team that can go rush the passer. They can beat you downfield with Jordan Addison, T.J. Hockenson, Justin Jefferson. They can run the ball with Aaron Jones. But will it all come together at the right time? That's always been the gripe with the Vikings. Something's not clicking. It's clicking at least right now. But they have three tough games coming up. And you mentioned the three top dogs. I would throw. I think the Packers still have a chance to, as well as anybody, to possibly represent the NFC. It's gonna be wild. Just the race for the North and as well as the NFC's top seed. And there's three teams very much still alive.
It'll be good. One more from Monday Night Football, and then we'll take a break and come back and talk Chiefs. You mentioned Caleb Williams. I saw Caleb Williams doing things last night that tell me he's going to be awesome. Like, he can make throws from positions that most guys just can't make. His escapability in the pocket, now he had to escape too much, which was the problem, right? Like, his line play wasn't very good. But his ability to feel it, move around, avoid it, and make some pretty wild throws, I think he's going to be very good. I think he looks like he's going to be awesome. Now, the mental, you know, can he hold strong through a tough first season? I don't know. I assume that he can. I think that he can. But you get him some proper coaching. Like, I think he's got a chance to be really, really, really good.
Did you see Bears and proper coaching?
I know. I mean,
Chicago Bears football.
Like, if they can figure out a way to do, like, for instance, what Harbaugh's been able to do with the Chargers and just sort of, like, get some regular stuff going in there. Look at what happened. Justin Herbert is, like, refound himself. I would tell you that all the jobs that are going to be open in the offseason, that would be the job I would take if I was a coach. With the roster that they have and him in place and another high draft pick impending, that would be the roster that I would want if I was any, like, if I'm Ben Johnson, for instance, and I can have my pick of the jobs, that's the one I'm taking.
Regular and Chicago Bears football, unfortunately, do not go together. And they had a chance to go get Jim Harbaugh, Jim Harbaugh and Kevin Warren, unfortunately, don't really get along too well. So that was never going to be a marriage that came to fruition.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll get the latest on the Chiefs. What do we think they need to be doing here? What should they be doing? We know it's a high ankle sprain. Now, we'll get Dan Israel's take on it, too, in hour number two, and we'll get you ready for some college basketball tonight. I want to say thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up each and every morning here. Always got us a big old, I call it a tank of coffee in the lobby there at all the Odyssey studios. So we appreciate them. We appreciate you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching on Facebook, on YouTube, on X, and of course on 12 News Connected. It's Jacob Albrecht, it's Brandon Zinner, Chad Chambers producing. We'll be right back. Again, everybody, it is Sports Daily, and we are glad to be here with you live on this Tuesday morning. Jacob Albrock, Brandon Zinner with you here. Brandon in for Tommy. Glad to be here with you, having some fun. I don't know what's going on out there in the universe. I've lost power twice. Thankfully, the timing there, Brandon, was good. It was during the break, and we got fired back up right before we came on the air here. So if you think I'm just in awe of what Brandon had to say and speechless, There's a chance that we lose power again, and I'll just call in if that happens. I don't know what is happening outside, but something crazy is. All right, Brandon, you're in the chair here. You get to make the call. You're Andy Reid. Let's call Patrick Mahomes 70%. He's 70% right now, not 100%, but able to play to some degree. What call are you making with all this?
Well, if Mahomes tells me he is good to play, wants to play, just based on the track record that this organization has, especially like this regime, he's going to play. They've never been one to really hold guys back, it doesn't seem like. But if the decision was mine, I think that this is a team, welcoming in a team in the Texans, that with the right game plan can still beat the Texans with Carson Wentz under center. And this is a season where the one seed is very, very important. So you have to play a balancing act. But if I'm in charge, I'm saying, hey, Patrick, we need you for the first round of the playoffs. And that's more important than trying to win this game on Saturday. They have two games ahead. Whether they lose this game or not in the grand scheme of things doesn't matter, because they have to win just two of them. So I say the right thing to do is to let Carson Wentz steer the ship, because if things get worse for Patrick Mahomes, unfortunately, then everything you've done to this point in the season, just it might be a wash.
So it really, to me, there's one big key. Can the Chiefs beat the Texans with Carson Wentz? I think that they can. Now, we know that Vegas doesn't think Mahomes is going to play and that the Chiefs are underdogs at home. I think the Chiefs can beat the Texans with Wentz. And so there's two camps here. A, it's really, does Mahomes think he can play, and is there any risk to aggravation or anything like that? He's Gumby. We know that. High ankle sprain for him probably is different than most. I'm willing to concede that, because we have such a long history of it. But then you have a short week to Pittsburgh. If you're stacking up the games that the Chiefs need to play here, the Texans game is the least important. They need two wins of the three, right? The Pittsburgh game is the most important of the three, because technically speaking, they're still in the mix to pass you in the pecking order of the playoffs. Houston is not. And so I'm more worried about Pittsburgh than Houston for that reason alone. And the other thing is Denver is good, but Denver's beatable. So, if I'm power ranking these, I would say, I think, if George Pickens plays, Pittsburgh is the best of these three teams. If he does not play, Houston is the best of these three teams. And no matter how you slice it, Denver's probably the third best. Maybe I'm not giving Denver enough credit, but I think you get what I'm saying. And if you take two of three, you also get a bye week for rest. So I think it makes the most sense to take your chances with Wentz against the Texans. Now, the other side of that is, if you think Mahomes can give you enough and you beat the Texans with Mahomes, and then you turn around and beat Pittsburgh and you clinch it, now you've got 2 weeks off for Mahomes to rest the ankle if you need it. So I get both sides of it, and it really does. I think you're right. It does come down to what Mahomes wants to do, but I don't have an issue if the Chiefs want to protect Mahomes against Mahomes. He's got to be able to be, to me, like 100% to be able to do this thing. Like, I don't think you take the risk. Rick says that Pittsburgh could be out if they lose to Baltimore Saturday. I mean, I don't think we can count on that. They beat Baltimore the last time they played them. So I don't think we can count on them losing. If George Pickens plays, this is a really good team. If he doesn't, they're not nearly as good, pretty clearly. So I we can't worry about what else happens. Buffalo could lose a game too, and then all of a sudden it wouldn't matter. So I think it's all really interesting. But I just don't know why they would feel they have to play Mahomes if he's not anything but 100% this weekend. Because I think that resting him is too important. Like, you can't risk a serious injury.
Yeah, and especially like we talked about, you have to look at the grand scheme of things. Looking down the road, a game that he's playing in the third week of January is always going to trump what he's doing here the last week of December. And if it just so happens where you do sit him and you end up going on the road, You'd rather go on the road with Patrick Mahomes than go on the road with Carson Wentz at the end of the day.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's going to be a tough call for them. Luckily, we'll probably get some more from Dan, but all the reports are saying that Marquise Hollywood Brown is going to come back this week, which is another weapon there
for Carson Wentz.
Right,
that's a good way to put it. If you're stacking up the three games right now, which one of those does Carson Wentz have the best chance to win? And even though the Texans are potentially the best of those three teams, it's at home. You could be getting Hollywood Brown back. Yeah, I think that's as good a chance as any. And if he doesn't, now you still control your own destiny, and you know you just got to go win the last two games.
Yeah, and if Carson Wentz is the one that lines up this weekend, it shouldn't all be on Carson Wentz, because you have two running backs
that's
who
correct.
Have not been utilized the last month. They should be healthy. Isaiah Pacheco was showing some pop. Kareem Hunt looked rejuvenated, refreshed early in that game. We talked about it yesterday that they just decided not to run the ball when Patrick Mahomes was clearly being pressured in that second half. And is that going to be the tipping point for this coaching staff? I really doubt it, but it very well may be. They might go back to the analytics and say, we did not run the ball when we needed to that second half. We need to do that against the Texans at home.
They ran it more in totality. I don't think they're going to, if they play Carson Wentz, I don't think they're going to line Carson Wentz up and let him throw it 47 times. They did run it more this week, finally, like a lot more, you know, but to the running backs, what we've been begging for. But when push came to shove and they had to make some tough decisions, they reverted back. And that is a problem. And this is why we've been screaming this from the rooftops for a month, 2 months, is they're going to get Mahomes hurt. I mean, look at the play that he got hurt on. That's just like, that's straight pressure, you know, like it's. And I get it, right? Like, you think that Mahomes gives you the chance, it's a big play, and I'm not saying that particular play, obviously, on fourth down they should have, but every time he drops back with this offensive line is a risk, and they had the game in control, and they could have just kept running the ball. We'll get to their defense, too. We'll do it in hour number two. I want to ask you about their defense, because I did think they looked significantly better in that game than they have. But let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to get you a look ahead on college basketball tonight. So keep it with us here. We're going to look ahead to K-State's game tonight, to Wichita State's game tonight. One of those games should be a really, really tough test. So that'll be an interesting one. Brandon's got actually a connection to the opposition, so can probably bring you insight you won't find anywhere else. We'll tell you why that is as we make our way through it here. Want to tell you about Crestview Country Club. We appreciate their support of the program here. All kinds of holiday things happening there. Member appreciation this week. You've got the holiday parties coming up. You got a great restaurant there, and I'm just looking here. The chef special this week, something pork medallions in a mushroom wine sauce. How about that? All kinds of good stuff there at Crestview. We appreciate their support of the program. Keep it right here. We're coming back. College Hoops Talk next on Sports Daily. Welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily, and we are glad to be with you here on a Tuesday. Jake Ballbrock, Brandon Zinner in for Tommy. Jad Chambers producing, rocking and rolling our way through. Dan Israel, Chiefs Radio Network, joins us top of the next hour. Until then, let's talk a little college hoops. We've got K-State in action tonight. You'll hear them on KFH. We've got Wichita State in action tonight. You'll hear them on KEYN. Glad to be the home of Wildcat and Shocker Athletics here, Brandon. Wichita State plays first, so we'll start with them. 14.5-point favorites over UMKC. Should be no problem. I don't know about the line. I think those are kind of hard to predict right now with Shocker still. But, you know, they're pretty heavy favorites tonight. We did learn last night on the coach's show, which you heard right here on KFH, that Ronnie DeGray probably looks like he'll be back sooner than anticipated. I think it was mid-January, which means he'd miss 2-3 conference games. So that's fantastic news for the Shockers, Brandon. What did Jerome Tang call them yesterday? Looking ahead to them, he called them a tournament, tournament team. I think that's probably about right. Like, I could definitely see a scenario where if they can get DeGray back quickly, that we're looking at their resume late in the year. I think they could fit into that description. But, you know, these kinds of games here, you fall apart in a second half on Saturday. This is one where you come back, you play this team at home. They ought to push them around a little bit, I think.
Yeah, the on the Ronnie DeGray front, that will be great just in the future, because this team has really, at times, just struggled to rebound the basketball, and that's something Ronnie DeGray does super well. Great defender as well. He just does some intangibles that not every player is going to bring to the floor. As far as tonight, yeah, it's going to be just a good opportunity for them to get back to what they do, and that's going to play defense. That's going to be to get good offensive shots. They really had to get out of their own the last 13 minutes of that game against DePaul. They go on to lose 91-72. It was tied at 60 with 13 minutes left, so that tells you DePaul ends the game on a 31-12 run. And just we were talking about it, just hitting shots that I mean, even if you are playing good defense, it's not gonna help too much. I am curious to see to see how they come back mentally, because yeah, they have a tough game coming up on Saturday. I don't think a Paul Mills team is gonna be looking past this one. No. The games, all of Wichita is definitely excited for, but. Yeah, just want to see the team get back to basics, take care of business, sweat free. But rarely is that the case.
It was so fun. I was watching the second half with my kids and wife, and like we're all watching it. And they were like, "How are they making those shots?" And I'm like, "Guys, it's probably not going to happen for the Shockers today." Like, those are the kinds of games you ought to be able to wash your hands of pretty quickly. And it sucks that it's a 19-point margin, because that will come back to bite them probably, as resumes are being looked at, but that wasn't a 19-point game, and it's just one of those unfortunate things. So, you know, it enhances the pressure to go win some of these others now. So Jad's got some audio here from the Paul Mills Coaches Show last night previewing UMKC. Because listen, I'll be honest, I haven't watched one second of UMKC basketball this year. I got nothing for you on the ruse, but Paul Mills does. Here's what he said about him on his Coaches Show last night.
My last year at Oral Roberts, we were pretty good, and we were able to go through the league undefeated. But there was one game that required a buzzer beater, and this was a home game, and it was against those guys, Kansas City, UMKC then. They've since changed their name, but Marvin has a 100% have those guys ready. We're playing a team tomorrow night that 47% of their shots are going to end up being three, so very similar to DePaul. And we have to make certain guys put the ball on the floor. They have to deck it. And if they're not dribbling, we're doing it wrong. But there has to be a bigger sense of urgency at getting to shooters than what, to be honest with you, than what we've had all year.
There you go. There's the preview. I think, you know, this is naive of me to say, but I'll say it anyway. Like, I think there are games where you should just do what you want to do, not what you need to do with the other team. And I know that's stupid, and coaches would say I'm crazy for saying that. But you know what I mean. Like, the perception should at least be in this game. Shockers should just come in and do what they want to do. Like, they should set the tone. They shouldn't be reacting or reactionary as much to UMKC as they might need to be to some other teams. Impose their will. Because I don't even know what the Shockers' will is still at this point, offensively. We see them score 96. We see them struggle when they can't shoot it. So I don't know what that is, but I'd sure like to see it, and this is a game where you'd like to see it. Like, what is the Shockers' offensive identity, and can they impose it in a game like this?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a Justin Hill, Quincy Ballard. I think those are the guys you kind of want to see rise to the top, because I think those are going to be the two guys that you can rely on when the tough games do come around. This is I will revert back. I did a story about another team that I covered at a past market playing Kansas City. I called them UMKC in my story, and I got an email saying, "We are not UMKC. We are Kansas City," and they were not too happy with me. So we will refer to them as the Kansas City Ruse. But three double-digit scorers. And I will give our friend Weston Pletcher a little shout-out for these game notes. Devontae Hall has handed out a team-best 50 assists, but only scores 4.8 points on 28% shooting. So we love that in the game notes from Weston. But, yeah, come out and just impose your will, no sweat, double-digit lead at halftime, and let's start looking forward to Saturday.
Love that Quincy Ballard was able to give him another 30-minute performance in that game. Didn't have any fouls. So he's been able to stay on the floor with the Gray out, which has been really, really good. And right now, Mate Bozniak is not getting the minutes because Ballard's out there. And I think that's correct. You know, like that's the correct thing. And by the way, listeners out there, I'm going to call him UMKC. That's what I'm going to do.
I hope no one from university is listening.
I actually just pulled up their website, which is umkc.edu. Yeah.
That's right.
And the website actually still has the UMKC logo on their own website.
I think it's an athletics thing, personally, but
it's, you know what?
They're the Kangaroos. Again, it's an awesome mascot.
Good. Yeah. I'm glad that they'd like to be called Kansas City.
KCRoos.com.
I don't care. If you'd like people to know who you're talking about, you refer to the team as the thing everybody knows. Nobody knows what Kansas City is. Everybody knows what UMKC is. I make no apologies for that. In the business of being accurate, I shouldn't say things like that, but we're also in the business of people knowing what the hell we're talking about. And so whether it's Kansas City or UMKC out there, the Shockers should do what they want to do against them tonight. Looking forward to that game. Also looking forward to K-State and Drake. K-State, I don't know what to make of K-State. I think there's some real pressure there, Brandon. And I don't even think that's a debate anymore, right? Like there is weird tension. There is some pressure from the fan base building now to an untouchable coach just a year and a half ago. Like it's strange there right now. It doesn't seem like relationships are going well for a relationship-driven coach. And they've got time to turn it around, but my goodness, like we're how far into that? We're almost 10 games into this thing, and it seems like there's a chemistry issue as much as there is like an offensive creation issue, which has been an issue for, you know, this program for a while now. But they are favored over Drake tonight. Wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. That's me. I don't know what to make of K-State because I was real optimistic about them coming into the year. And I it is uneasy. I don't even know how else to describe it. It's just really uneasy with this program right now.
It wouldn't be a thing if there was no history with what we have. So let's rewind a year ago, the Naquan situation, Naquan Tomlin, suspended, eventually dismissed from the team, which involved the president, which involved Jerome Tang, became a huge story. There were protests outside the president's house on campus. And obviously last season did not go the way the Cats wanted to. A very disappointing year, which then leads to late in the season, Jerome Tang, schools looking to bring him in, and he gets a contract extension, gets a pay raise. Fast forward to this year, a brand new team. And now here we are, Chora after less than a dozen games into the season. He has left the team. And then just over the last week, rumors on social media about Doug McDaniel, the point guard coming in from Michigan. And that leads to a press conference yesterday where Jerome Tang feels he needs to even address it. These are just allegedly social media rumors, but I mean, to the point where Jerome Tang said him and Doug McDaniel, they don't have a great relationship. They have a good relationship, but it's when iron meets iron, sparks are going to fly. And that's, if you're a Kansas State basketball fan, that is just absolutely terrifying because you're facing an unbeaten Drake team tonight when it appears your team is at its lowest. And then you got to go on the road and face another 8-win Shockers team. And then you got to turn around and you get a Big 12 opener against Cincinnati. Oh, that's okay. No, Cincinnati's ranked in the top 25 and is 9-1. On the season. This is going to be a trying 2 weeks for Kansas State. It's going to tell a lot about what this team's goals, how they're going to reach them later in the season. Because, I don't know if they've reached their lowest, but they certainly could over the next 2 weeks.
So tell us about Drake, Brandon, because you've been on, you know, McCollum, the guy they brought in. Your alma mater, right, is where he came from. And we heard Wyatt Thompson mention it yesterday. There was a massive exodus from Drake with DeVries and all of those things over to Indiana State to leave there. But Drake is 9-0 now. So what can you tell us about how they're going to operate?
Yeah, so Ben McCollum, if you're in the basketball world, he has been one of the biggest names in just in coaching searches for the last 5 years. Comes from Northwest Missouri State, my alma mater, but also a school that I covered as a journalist for 6 seasons. I saw it in him back in 2015 when he was on a run of national titles. He ended up winning 4 national titles in a span of 7 years at Northwest Missouri State with a guy that a lot of Kansas State fans know named Trevor Hudgens, who came from Manhattan, went up to Northwest Missouri State, and had a 2-year NBA career, now is balling out overseas. But Ben McCollum goes up, gets this Drake job this offseason for DeVries, who left, brings the roster with him. So Ben McCollum brings 4 of his Division II players, and they have 4 players starting for this Drake team that were playing Division II basketball a year ago at a high level. And how's that working out? They are 9-0. It's going to be it's tough to go against Ben McCollum. They play very sound offense. They rebound the ball so well. They don't take bad shots. You're going to see probably more sets tonight against Kansas State than you might all season. They're going to do a lot of ball screens where it's just going to put the defense in a pickle. Am I switching? Am I sticking to my man? And there's going to be open guys that are going to be able to shoot the 3 for Drake. This is not a fluke 9-0 team. They've beat Miami. They beat Florida Atlantic. They beat Vanderbilt. All of those, none of them at home on neutral courts. They won out Valparaiso. It's a tough test. Ben McCollum is the real deal. I was saying that I thought Wichita State should have went and looked at him whenever they hired Paul Mills. Still think Paul Mills has a great future here. But and this isn't the first job also to be coming
McCollum. I think it speaks to your how highly you think of him to think he was ready to make that sort of jump. It takes him another year, and he ends up making up a little lesser of a jump, but pretty similar to get to Drake. I mean, that's not a nothing program. Drake's been really, really, really good for a long time. And so I think what it tells me is K-State is not, Drake's not going to help K-State tonight, right? K-State's going to have to come out and show that they are the more talented team, and they are the more talented team. But they're, you know, this to me, that what you're describing with, you know, those things and the way he'll coach and the like, that's not good news for K-State.
No.
Right. And that concerns me about this game. I don't know where this thing goes for K-State. I really don't. I'm not saying abandon ship or anything like that. I'm just saying I did not see this coming with this team. I thought the pieces fit well. I thought you could wash your hands of last year. They're clearly more talented than they were a year ago, yet here we are, and it just feels like nothing is going right for them. Could they still turn it around? Of course they can. There's just not anything happening that tells us they're approaching that, though, that they're approaching this thing like finding a groove. They have beaten some bad teams, and they've lost to some good teams. What is K-State's best win this year? You know what I mean? Longwood. They have wins over New Orleans, Cleveland State, Mississippi Valley State, George Washington, Longwood, and Arkansas Pine Bluff. They've played 3 teams that you would consider quality opponents, and they've lost all 3 games. They're about to play 2 more teams that you would consider quality opponents before they start conference play. This could unravel on them. Very, very good. They don't have a quality win this year.
And they haven't looked right? good like, against those quality opponents.
Yeah, right. I guess they barely lost to Liberty, if you want to hang your hat on that. But like they have not won a quality game all year long.
Their strength of schedule, we were talking about it yesterday in KenPom, I think is around 330. And the teams that they have beat, when you just go look at the metrics, I mean, those teams rank in the bottom 300 of offense and defense combined. There hasn't been anything promising to take away from this. It would be one thing if you're going, you're blowing out these teams, but I mean, they're playing overtimes. They are playing couple score games. We still don't know if Coleman Hawkins is going to be able to carry this team. If that's even what this team wants to do, I don't know what the identity of this team is. Whether it's one of the Joneses, whether it's Brendan Housen, your favorite player on the planet, I believe.
My favorite player, right.
David Gasson or Coleman Hawkins. I don't know what the identity of this team is. Maybe we see it tonight, but it's going to be a tough ask against a Drake team.
It's going to be a tough ask, and I want it to work. I really, 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 really do. I'm very, very, very concerned, though. I got to be honest. This is the perfect game to get it turned around. Perfect game to get it turned around. And look, if you're the Shockers and you get K-State coming up this weekend, they feel gettable, right? They feel gettable. And that's got to be exciting. We got this, you know, we got this double-edged sword here with them going head-to-head. Man, I hate this for K-State, and I really want to see them turn it around. Wichita State, real quick, back to them. We mentioned this yesterday. This was kind of the point where things unraveled on them last year, too. Remember, they got out to that 7-1 start, and I think it went up. Did it go up to 10-1 before things really unraveled, and they only won a handful of games the rest of the way? I think there's – I don't think this team feels that, but I think this fan base does to some degree. It would be I really, really hope – that they can impose their will and get a big win tonight and just look really good, because I think they could have beat DePaul. And I know that sounds crazy with a 19-point margin, but they were leading at halftime. And DePaul all of a sudden just did those weird things. That game on Saturday, Brandon, is fascinating.
Yeah,
for a lot of reasons.
As much as we talk down on this version of Kansas State, just, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, a win over K-State is going to be top 80 in KenPom. It's going to be huge for the program. Things unraveled last year. Lost by double digits at Mizzou. Lost by double digits downtown to South Dakota State. Escaped by Southern Illinois. And then it was bad for a month. Let's hope that this isn't the same Shocker team to do that.
Yeah, got to get there first, though. They each play games tonight. Again, you'll hear the Shockers right here on KFH. You will hear the Shockers over on KEYN. You'll hear K-State right here on KFH, your home, of course, for Shocker and Wildcat athletics. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Dan Israel hops on for his weekly visit. What to do with Patrick Mahomes, and what is he hearing right now about that ankle? We'll get his insight when we return. It's Jacob Albrecht. It's Brandon Zenner on the way out. We'll give away some HTO. You can win a free iced tea, sweet or unsweet. You can win a free iced or hot coffee. One of each right now to either Wichita location or in Derby by texting the keyword T to the short code 20357. That's TEA to 20357. Good luck, everybody. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. We're coming back. Dan Israel joins us next.